Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come down to that, you've come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. Well, can't do this thing by myself. In the studio with me today, I've got the one, the only, Duke.
And good morning.
And good morning, yes. As it goes. We're talking today about some of the things that that men have to face somewhere along the line, especially if you end up with in a family, whether you're married or whatever, being the head of the household. What does that mean? Is that really biblical? Is it something that needs to be taking place? And anyway, so that's what we're going to kind of stir up this morning a little bit. But we always like to kind of kick things off with some encouragement with for the men type of thing. And I don't know if you've got anything on your heart or anything you want to be able to share this morning with
oh,
you guys.
Yes.
You always do.
I do. The
all
list
right.
is long.
Okay.
And what struck me this morning was what happens throughout the week sometimes. And I guess the encouragement this morning is how encouraged I get by being, I guess, in relationship with other men. That is,
right.
throughout the week, I find myself talking with different guys about different life's issues and how it applies biblically. And it is just so encouraging. And there's a verse that I often refer to in Proverbs 24:6 that says, "For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there's victory." That's the, you know, one brain is better than, or two brains are better than one sort of thing.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I was just so encouraged at, I've got a kind of a men's gathering this weekend, and that verse struck me as I thought, you know, I'm seeking guidance and counsel on a number of different things. And I was just, you know, encouraged that I had a place to go. And even reflecting back when there were times when I would struggle through some issue or problem on my own or through the world or through somebody at work, or I got to tell you, Raul, being able to meet with other brothers, all like-minded, mm-hmm. kind of all on the same page,
mm-hmm.
Really ministers to that. And without that, I don't know that I would be as encouraged as I am. How's
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something about fellowship that takes place where all of a sudden we realize not only are we not alone in this world and being challenged the way that we are, but we also have opportunity of being able to give away some of the things that we've learned, okay, and things that we have experienced to someone else, thinking that it would never help someone else. And all of a sudden God puts someone in your life and you go, oh, you know, and you wait for them to finish, and you all of a sudden you tell them, you know what? I've got something I want to share with you. And then you get this opportunity.
Amen.
Then you find out that all of a sudden now, not only do you have purpose, but, you know, you're actually going to be used wholly by the Holy Spirit, you know, wholly by the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's we've better. Talked about that before, where it's almost, I feel almost a little selfish sometimes in that I'll reach out, talk to a couple of guys about something, and end up being the one that gets blessed from it. You know, in other words, I experience the blessing from it as well when I think that I'm, you know, sharing one for them. So
yeah,
it does. It works both ways.
There you
Amen.
Go. There you go.
Anyway, I hope that's an encouragement. Listeners, get out there, get with guys, your church family. Just the more that you do that, the more you're encouraged.
There
and
you
the
go.
Stronger we get, we grow in God's word.
There you go.
I don't know who my family was. I mean, I can't really remember who my family was in that regard. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know who I went to. I don't think I really did. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're like the rest of us, we didn't go to too many people. We
no.
kept it all to ourselves and then
yeah.
tried to figure it out. And
we did.
Anyway,
yeah.
And in doing so, it sometimes we made some pretty awkward decisions. For me, they were stupid, but for other guys, it might just be awkward.
They're called poor choices, Raul.
Or learning opportunities.
There you go, learning opportunities.
There you go. All okay. Right, well, let's kick into this, segue into this topic about being the head of the household. There's probably some guys who are sitting here saying, yes, finally, we're going to be able to get this clear. I'm going to make sure my wife hears this so that she understands what this thing is all about. Now, you had a reason why you wanted to bring this topic up.
I did, because it's a challenge from time to time, and it's occurred in my own marriage as well as other men that I talk with. And the proposal comes to this responsibility that Scripture calls us to be head of our household or leaders. And I've got some scriptures that we can refer to, but the overview of what we're going to try and talk about is when you're in disagreement with your spouse, and somebody's got to make a decision, good, bad, or indifferent. Is it one that we're called to make as men, and that's just the way it is, or not? So I went right to Scripture, and it talks about submission being an important issue in relation to marriage. So I'm going to throw out just the first verse that always kind of threw me a little bit that we have to have some understanding about. It says, here's the plain biblical command. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. It's Ephesians 5:20 through 24. Now, there was a time, Raul, that I thought that meant that whatever I say goes.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to take the heat for the decision. Now, I've got to preface this with, this applies to believers.
Yes.
I mean, what we're going to talk about is either someone that needs to seek the understanding in this for their own marriage that maybe is new in the Word, or listening today because he wants to know about the Word. But primarily, I find that this comes up with the guys that are already, you know, they're going to church, or they feel like they're following that right path, and they end up with a conflict or something with their wife. And I'll tell you, one of the most common ones, even was recently, had to do with a child. And the parents disagreed on the activity of this child. One felt that it was a biblical view. The other one didn't think it was unbiblical, but wasn't going to go with it.
Right.
And so, of course, Satan delights in division, mm-hmm. you know. So as believers, Scripture is very clear about how we're supposed to, you know, agree on these things. But my confusion sometimes goes, when is it appropriate, Raul, I guess, because I'm going to a little bit play that side. When is it appropriate to dig your heels in and say to your wife that, hey, we try and follow Scripture in all of what we do. It calls me to be head of household, calls me to be accountable for these decisions to lead you, even if they're not wrong. If you don't feel that I'm bringing, you know, some kind of deathly harm, you're to go with it. And that's a difficult proposition to propose to your wife when we live in a world of emancipation and, you know, all of that, I guess.
Well, so often with this stuff, we end up, you know, as men, we take it, we were brought up a certain way, believing that, yes, we are the head of the household. The Bible talks about it in another location that we are to, in a sense, look at our wives as the weaker vessel, I think is what it used at. And it's talking about, in a sense, as far as being in the physical mode, men as body shaped and the way that we are, our strength is increased. Not saying that every man is stronger than every woman, but the fact is that we are there to provide, to protect, to be able to teach and to love and to just take care of, okay, our wives. And in so doing, we do the same for our children at the same time as a result of being a teacher and doing the things that are necessary. But here's the deal. So often we've looked at it this way, even as non-believers, that we're the head of the household. The husband is it, no matter what. And we've used that as a means of control, of getting our way, okay? And, well, that's about it. Those two things kind of
Well, and you know, that's what we see, let's say, in the older movies. the Westerns and stuff like that is like, no, the wife was significantly silent. And if there was some disagreement, it's like the man said something and it was done. There's no discussion. Now, that's, you know, as you said, that's kind of the culture society that we see. And those are some of my remembrances. The man puts his foot down, and I can remember my dad and my mom having disagreements. And my dad would raise his voice a little bit. It's pretty much like my dad put his foot down kind of thing. Now, my mom comes from an era of submission that way. And my dad very much appreciated a lot of what she did. But nevertheless, it was like the man's deal. So I have had different exchanges with my wife about things of disagreement where I've got to sit there and go, okay, am I going to, you know, cut off my nose to spite my face here? Yeah. Am I treating her as Jesus treats the church? Am I loving her as Jesus loved the church? Which is really, in other words, it's kind of like, okay, look at myself first, mm-hmm. a little bit in the mirror before you go off the deep end. But there's the dance. See, I know men that are, I'm going to say, faithful believers, and they struggle with that element of authority with their wife. They will want to be head of household and make those decisions that we're called to, but yet find that the conflict is too great. Yeah. Give her way.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
So does that mean that we're given into to a less than obedient attitude when we do that? Again, it comes to how much do we dig our heels in when we really feel that what we're trying to do to lead our family is biblical and we get this pushback?
Well, here's the thing, and I think a lot of it is, it's not a matter of semantics. I don't think it's a matter of trying to figure out what is it that is actually being said or done with the individual, with our families. In other words, we talk about being the head of the household, and it's not the head, it's being a leader. Is really what it comes down to. Being a lead is totally different, I think, than being a head. In other words, yeah, somebody could say, yeah, he's the CEO, he is the head of this whole thing. Does that make him a good leader? Not necessarily.
No.
Not at all. It makes him, he's got that position for whatever reason he has it. But what the Bible wants us to do is to be able to lead our families, okay? And in doing so, that means that somewhere along the line, to actually be a leader, I believe you have to be respected. I believe there's something where people realize that this person, you know, I do respect him because of what he says and how he does it, okay? Not out of fear of not doing something correct, okay?
Yeah, and there's that fear of I told you so kind of thing. Let's take the example of the guy that has not always walked in the light. And he now is seeking God and is biblically knowledgeable enough in that his church is supporting him in such a way where he gets it, and he wants to really engage in being obedient to God's word in that, because let's say he's fallen short in the past. Yeah. So he's coming to task. Mm-hmm. Amen. His wife is loving that, as most women would, to see a man grow in Christ and in
right.
God. But she's been burned. He's made some poor choices in the past. Now, she's not fault-free, let's say. But as they go and engage, and here's a common, what I've come across, where a guy is in the Word, he's seeking, he's really trying to be obedient to it, not that he's fault-free, because none of us are.
Right.
The wife is quasi-supportive until it comes to, a critical decision.
Yeah.
That he's maybe made poor choices in the past. And the wife says, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, no, that, dear, I think we should. Where does that, you see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't want the division. We want to be of like-mindedness. And when men ask me about how to overcome that, aside from prayer, each one is so individual, I'm not sure that I have a good answer other than we go to Scripture and look at these ones we're talking about today.
Yeah. You know, brings up a good point, but there's going to be a lot of good points that are going to be brought up here, and things of how we discern between which path to take.
Amen.
And so we're going to take a break, and then we'll come right back, and then we'll continue talking about this sort of thing. And we'll try to get this issue that is anal Raul has to make sure that all the headphones are right. And anyway, so we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. You're listening to, believe it or not, Band of Brothers Radio.
help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
It's hard times when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes, and you're feeling all alone, keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good.
Back to Band of Brothers Radio and fighting the good fight, but not with your wife, okay? Well, I guess maybe you are to fight the good fight with your wife. She's your helpmate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, says the same thing that Duke had mentioned earlier in Ephesians. It says, "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God," okay? So that's verse 3. So it reminds me here that I need to be submitting to God, to Christ, to Jesus Christ, okay? And in my submission to Him, when I am seeking Him, what ends up taking place is that it's going to be shown that way. In other words, when I am seeking God, He's going to say, glorify me. Come and pray with me in your prayer room, in your quiet time. Spend time with me, okay? I mean, that's what the scripture says. We tell that to other men all the time,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
We hear that from the pastors or whoever the minister is that's preaching to us. We hear that all the time. So in doing these things that we're telling other men to do and doing them ourselves, not just speaking them, but actually putting them into practice in everything that we do, it's automatically going to happen when that happens at home. Our families are going to see a change in us, okay? It's not all of a sudden that I haven't been sober for 17 years, and I finally get to a place that, yes, I've been not drinking for 3 weeks and doing all the business that's necessary to stay sober and everything. Now I'd like to be able to have the checkbook back so I can take, you know, charge of all of this. I want to be able to have control over the monies and, you know, and everything else in the household. Excuse me, it doesn't happen that easily. See, what usually takes place is that, the way I see it, it has to do with trust. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden that you get married and all of a sudden, wow, I didn't know that you were like this, you know. Maybe you need to ask the right questions, or sometimes it's a matter of making sure that the person who's actually marrying you asks those type of questions between the two of you ahead of time. So there are no surprises. But the fact is that somewhere along the line, we've allowed certain behaviors to take place within our family structure, okay, whether it be with our wives, okay, or with our children, okay. I can't say anything to them because she protects them and, you know, yada, 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 all of the sort. But here's the deal. Why are we so not willing to take a look at ourselves? Okay, the book of James talks about that a man looks into a mirror and dimly sees himself, okay? But he turns away, and quickly he forgets
what he looked like, what he looked at,
the reflection. He's going, oh, my goodness, I forgot what that was. Because we don't like what we see sometimes. And the fact is, truly, is that if down deep inside, are we really wanting control? Are we really wanting to be able to have everything at where we are the final say on this sort of thing?
Well, isn't that the honest proposition? I mean, the way, as we often refer to, men are wired, as you pointed out, we're the stronger, we're, you know, we're the ones that go into the battle, not women. So I think it's a natural, almost instinctive to
protect the cave, no doubt. But see, our battle is not in flesh and blood. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we're not here to battle everybody away from us, okay? The battle is a spiritual battle. It means that we need to submit to God because there are things that we have no control, we have no power over. We can't change anything, but God can do anything he wants, okay? And as a result of submitting to him and being obedient to him, loving him, okay, all of a sudden our lives change. We all of a sudden are seeking more of his guidance. We're not ashamed to be on our knees and praying and being seen. Not that we do it in the middle of a room, but maybe our children walk past the library or the extra room that's where Dad prays or that's where Dad studies or whatever, his office, whatever it might be. And they see you in there. Okay, and not only see you doing that, but your life, you change. All of a sudden, you listen to your children more. You listen to your wife more. There's certain subtle, not subtle things, but they end up being huge things to them.
No, and as you're saying that, I'm reflecting back on my stages through that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a journey.
Yes.
Once you're enlightened and you decide that you're going to choose this path other than the worldly path, I think that's part of the role of the wife, if you're married, is that she's to be a helpmate even in that. But so you're in this journey.
Yes.
The end of the journey kind of goes a little bit like something that I'll read here. Now, we read the wife submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. This is Colossians 3:18-19. Mm-hmm. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. It goes on. It says, now, it closes up here with 1 Peter 3:7. From the verses, we see that love and respect characterize the roles of both husbands and wives.
Yes.
Okay, amen. If these are present, then authority, headship, love, and submission will be no problem for either partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm gonna call a little bit of bunk on that.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I can use...
I don't know what bunk is. Go ahead.
I don't agree that there will be no problem for either partner. That kind of biblical submission and understanding and love of the Lord and commitment and all those things, that's a rarity. I mean, I know pastors that are steadfast guys have committed their entire lives to and great examples that struggle in this one area. That is, there isn't always harmony, and the wife is not always in. Because the women's no different than us. They are conditioned to... I mean, how many gals have had the guy leave and they got to raise the kids? They got to go get a job. They got, you know, so I see the apprehension in our culture. But what about the guy that is absolutely submissive? His wife does see him engaged, and yet there's a, let's say, a major decision in the family be made, and she says, no, we're doing it this way.
But see, the thing is, though, is that you cannot have that type of disagreement where the wife is saying, hey, I see him just starting to do this, or before he was submitting. No, because see, if there's a submission, if you're seeking God as a man, the man in the home, whether you're a husband only or a husband and a father, or maybe even a husband, a father, and a grandfather, okay, that when you're submitting to God, you're seeking to do his principles, you're going to start doing some of these other things that are going to affect the family. You're going to pray for your wives. Wash her in the word of God. You're going to listen to them. You're going to have compassion. You're going to have understanding. You're going to have forgiveness. You're going to have so many things are going to be taking place. And when these things aren't done, it doesn't happen overnight. When these things aren't done, then yes, you are going to have kickback and so on and so forth. Nobody's perfect, but we're called to be perfect. We're called to be holy. So does that mean that, oh, hey, I'm going to screw up? And no, we all know that we're going to fall short, okay? But that doesn't keep us from striving for that. And as a result of striving for our own relationship with Jesus, I think that's why he said, make me first above all things, above everything, even your wife, okay? And as a result of that, when I'm seeking God, then I'm going to learn how to love my wife differently than I have done before. And she's going to notice that. And what's going to happen? She's going to receive the benefits of that, being blessed. And then she may end up changing also.
That's a big if and a big may.
No, it's not an if. It's a promise.
Well,
that's what the Bible
says. So I'm a guy that has, let's say, came to the Lord a year ago. I've got the obvious tattered past. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, the men that I'm surrounded with at church have encouraged me to be that leader of the home, be that example, study with your kids, pray in front of, with your wife, and mm-hmm. with some of the obvious things you just said, okay? But yet, here he wants to embrace that venue so badly because that's what he's called to, but the world is still there, and they're in that journey. Right. So at what point does he say, listen, dear, I'm really trying here, and I think I've been obvious without being a faker that, you know, I'm trying to let the Lord lead my life. And we are still in disagreement on these things, and good, bad, or indifferent, I'm the one that's held accountable in God's eyes for these decisions, and they need to be made, boom, this way.
Decisions on what?
Things that we're in charge of, which is the rearing of our children, submitting to our wives with love and respect and all
right,
that.
Right.
So if we're doing all those things...
But you're not responsible for what they end up doing. You're responsible for doing what it says in Deuteronomy 6, to teaching of the Lord to your children, okay, and they're coming and they're going. What they end up doing with all of that, okay, so somewhere along the line, they're going to leave the home, okay. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it.
So we train up our wife the way that she should go?
No. But when you're loving a person a certain way, you don't put a timetable on it, saying, hey, if certain things, because I believe we desire to love each other and want to put up with each other and be able to, because we care about each other.
Amen.
Then you know what? You're willing to go through anything to be able to do that. Does that mean you're not going to have disagreements? Believe me, I'm not saying that we're not going to have disagreements. But you know what? Those disagreements are not going to be a hill for us to die on as far as the marriage is concerned, like
that,
it used to be.
There
okay?
you go. And that's where I've...
And that's where the changes take place. And eventually what ends up happening is that our heart changes. When our heart changes, our behaviors change. When our behaviors change, the people around us change. And you know who really changes? It's not them, it's us, because
yes.
We see things differently.
Amen. Amen.
Let's take a break. We're going to put the gloves down here. We're going to take a little water and splash some water on our heads and everything, and now we've got the headphones going. We're going, why did we get those things working? But anyway, hey, we're in the midst of this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Into your word, we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world, we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know.
Welcome Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. You know what? Round three. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, anyway, we've visited a couple things.
I want to just start off with something here, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I know you're going to hold that thought.
Oh, I have a thought, too. Yes, sir.
I brought up a couple of things here on on occasion. I will go to gotquestions.org. It's a really good website. But anyway, we talked about verse 1 Peter 3:7, where it talks about husbands love with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. There's tons in there in this verse. Okay? Because it's talking about them. They're co-heirs with us, okay? They're an heir to the kingdom, to the king also, okay? So the term weaker vessel is misunderstood. It does not imply inferiority, since the verse continues by stating that a woman is a co-heir with her husband. Within the context of this verse, weaker means that a woman is not to be treated as one of the guys. She is created differently in body and spirit. Understanding is key. A husband must study his wife, learn who she is, and make choices that highlight her strengths and beauty. Physical confrontation, verbal bullying, and emotional neglect have no place in the Christian marriage.
Amen.
Okay? To live with her in an understanding way means that a wise husband controls his own needs and desires so that hers are met.
Amen.
It does not belittle her, minimize her contributions to the family, or expect her to do what God has given him to do. He makes the study of one woman a lifetime endeavor, and he wants to be an expert at it. So really what it comes down to is that he's letting us, this article, this is reminding us that it's not to expect overnight changes, but we need to continually die to self, okay? But as a result of that, we look at our wives and say, why are they not agreeing with me? Why are they keep balking? Or she keeps wanting more and more, and I feel like I have, you know, to keep giving in all the time. And really what it comes down to is that we have this movie that's been going for a little while called War Room, okay? And I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I have.
Okay. Yes, you did. I remember you saying. Now, in there, in this movie, the woman is praying for the husband, okay? And this the premise of it. But it is only the principle. It's not so much that this movie is about a woman praying for her husband and seeing the changes in him. Because prayer works. It's the same thing that we are to be doing for our wives, okay? And stepping in and being able to continue lifting them up to God. Not praying. I'm not talking about praying with your wife. I'm talking about praying for your wife.
Amen. Yep.
And not that we know everything that's going on, but Lord, help us, give me the eyes to be able to see her the way that you see her, to love her the way that, and understand her the way that you understand her. Because right now it's driving me nuts, and I'm not sure. I think I'm giving in way too much. I think I've got my tail between my legs. I feel like it. And who's really in charge here?
Amen. And, you know, that scenario you just painted right there, because of our egos and our pride and the stronger vessel part of things, that's hard to take.
Yeah.
It really is. And not to be black and white, but I need, when I go for a clear understanding, one thing that really jumped out to me was one that I read that talked about how the principle of headship was established even before sin entered the world, as mentioned in 1 Timothy 2:13. Adam was created first, and Eve was created from the rib to be his helper, right? So God establishes several types of authority in the world, governments to enforce justice in society, things of that nature, child to a father, etc., aunt, wife to a husband, all of them, submission is required.
Yeah.
So by God's own design of authority of governments to the family unit, there is a submission and a design to it.
Yes.
So if my wife and I are believers and we get to that draw the line in the sand topic, okay, so do we go to submission is required, wife to husband, because that's what Scripture says, that you've ministered to her need, you've been respectful, you love her, but you're in disagreement that you really think may not bring chaos to the household,
right,
but let's say it's a family decision that you feel very strongly about and she feels very strongly about,
right,
do you say, okay, that's okay?
Right.
Or do you say, no, whatever risk this is, I'm going to be obedient to God's word?
And I think when we're talking at a level where what you're mentioning without using any specific instance, so to speak, what needs to take place is that there needs to be prayer together over this instance, over whatever the situation is, that we pray together over it. Let's pray and ask what God's will be done. Okay. See, here's the deal. Somewhere along the line, each one of our relationships with God, okay, is unique of its own because of our relationship with Him.
Amen. Okay? I agree.
And as a result of that, we may hear things and see and sense things differently, or even to a point where we're not on the same level. Okay. And I think that's when sometimes the verse that we used, I think we used earlier, yes, when we talked about in the encouragement about the fellowship, about getting outside, seeking counsel of others, okay,
right.
In a
yeah.
sense. Whether it be from close, maybe you have another couple that are a godly couple and you want their take on it, or maybe you have a small group where you want to throw something like this out. I know Debbie and I have done that before. We had a small group. They were couples and pretty tight knit. Everyone kind of, you know, it's not like we were gossiping about each other or anything, but pretty tight knit. And we throw something out and get what everyone else's take on it. Sometimes that is very helpful. But even more, in a sense, is sometimes maybe where there needs to be some guidance, maybe from a pastor, where you actually bring this in and say, we're at a impasse here. And we'd like for you to be able to speak into our lives and what you believe we ought to do.
You know, it's funny you do use that word impasse. It wasn't that long ago that I went to my senior pastor and I said, help me understand the scriptures that say it's okay to disagree. That, you know, we may have disbeliefs, but it's okay that we disagree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't want to go down too far down that rabbit hole. And what his advice to me was, there's not a scripture that that says that.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to what you were just talking about, you know, engaging in other couples that are navigating through their journey. The wife is at a different place than the husband is. And so, communication is going to be, there's curiosity, there's challenge, there's all those. And then you got pride, ego.
And see, and these are all the things, okay, that you had mentioned, my shortcomings, okay? And one of the things is that when my wife, who knows me very well, okay, she knows she can tell when I'm getting emotional before I even say anything sometimes, just the body posture, right?
Amen.
Or whatever. She knows when something angers me or just creates a certain emotion in me before it even happens. And you don't get there by just, you know, being with the person every now and then. You have to communicate. Is it like getting to know God? You know, we get to know God the more that we spend time with Him in His presence. And in doing so, we learn that same principle applies in our relationship with our wives and with our children. These are the things that actually end up increasing that relationship to that point to where we sit there and go, now I know I want to ask you something, sweetheart, but I know this is kind of a touchy subject. And I believe God's given me the right timing. I just want to bring this up. So I just want to kind of just go in here just and whatever it is, right? So rather than just saying, hey, I want to talk about something, you know, it's totally different, you know?
Agreed.
But we learn that not from just our own knowledge. We learn that because maybe when we seek God, He says, be patient, be loving, be kind, you know, and go to her in a certain way. Or you even go to another brother and ask, say, you know, I've got this going on. And if he's a godly brother, okay, one that's seeking God, that's what I mean by a godly brother, one who's seeking God, not one who says he knows Him.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
But one who's actually seeking, you know that, he, you know, that's what he does.
Seen by their fruits.
Exactly.
Yep.
Then as a result of that, we end up asking, and he may, because God ordains certain things and orchestrates and allows certain things to take place, will you hear something a certain way from somebody going, oh, I never heard it like that before. And you know what? There's something that is just refreshing to be able to hear something that you sit there, you've been just battling, willing to just die over it, right, type of thing. But all of a sudden, this guy says something in a certain way, and it's like, oh. It's like a fresh shower, you know. That feels. I think.
And we all want that.
And we all want that. Yes. And so I think a big part of this is that the struggle is, and you mentioned it before, my pride, my ego get in the way, you know, of just, hey, I have to be it. You know what? God is ahead of me. And when he wants me to be on head of something, he says, hey, I'm going to, it's like the parable of the talents, right? Guy gets two, everyone got the same number of talents.
Yep.
What are you going to do with them, right? Yep. Says, if you do much with this, I'll give you more, okay? So if we show that we can submit to God and be able to take care of the little things, okay, he's going to give us even more to be responsible for.
Well, and that's very encouraging. What that suggests is not much different than part of my own walk, whereby as I became more engaged in God's word and became more all in, I guess, you're right. It's obvious my wife saw those things occur.
Yeah.
But you can't deny there's still the dynamic from time to time that you have these disagreements. And for me, I feel such a responsibility in that there was so many years, I've been married 40 years, most of our marriage, I was not walking in the light. I wasn't this horrible guy.
Yeah.
You know, I've never hit my wife or nothing like that, but I wasn't a good leader, and I went to prison because I made poor choices. Mm-hmm. And I think that the old history is hard for her to overcome sometimes in trusting in a decision that
Absolutely.
I might make. Now, in my case, that by and large, praying together, that's if all the listeners just did that. And I've had issues where my wife and I were not in agreement, and I didn't say anything at the time, wanted to give it some time. But at night when we pray together, I would say something like, Lord, you know that my wife and I are in disagreement about this.
Right.
And Lord, just together, we'd like to ask that you administer some relief in that, give us clarity, because you know that we want harmony in our home.
Right.
You know, some kind of a prayer like that. Now, that's an awkward prayer sometimes, actually,
Absolutely.
Because you're bringing it up again.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife, and sometimes I picture my wife just stewing like, okay, well, I disagree with him an hour ago. Now he's praying with both of us, like, okay, he still wants me to change my mind. And I do, let's say, and I do bring it up in prayer. I guess what it comes down to is when do you, Or do you just turn this over to God in these ways every time the occurrence happens, or do you feel you're called to task to say no?
But see, you said something very key. There's a scripture that says that you don't ask because you don't receive because you don't ask.
Amen.
And when you ask with wrong motives. Okay? So, in other words, when we pray, sometimes we pray with wrong motives. You know, Lord, I want you to give us clarity here. But your real motive is that I want it to come my direction.
Yes, I feel responsibility for that.
No. But see, that's where I'm saying that becomes now a wrong motive. When is it your will or my will that I'm asking him to do?
Well, no, back up here now. God's word is God's word. So I go there, and his will says I am to be head of household if I'm obedient to his word.
Let's see.
Now I've got a wife that's in disagreement.
How about let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew where it talks about the Lord's Prayer. Okay.
Okay.
And let's go right here. Let's see here. And I get here. I'm going to have to change it. I'm just going to try to go here. And is it in 5 or 6? Let me get to it.
And I don't have the Matthew in front of me here.
Okay. Well, I do. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, okay. But anyway, this is how we are to pray, right? In the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right?
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Okay.
So we want his will to be done.
Amen.
Okay. So when we're seeking prayer for others, we're seeking his will
yes.
be done.
Yes.
Okay. Not my will.
No.
Not my will.
But is it okay to pray that my wife's heart would be softened on an issue that I think that I'm trying to be obedient to?
Okay. Yes. But see, again, if you go deeper, because you admitted it, you said that you wanted her to see it your way. And that's where I'm saying that I believe that when he tells us in the scripture saying that we are actually, we ask because we ask with wrong motives. In other words, if I'm, you know, trying to slide this in, saying, okay, Lord, you know, just soften my wife's heart so she sees it my way or.
Sees it the biblical
no.
way.
How about, Lord, help me to be able to see the way that you want me to see this too. Father, it's your will be done, not my will. Not her will, but your will. Okay? Because that's ultimately the best way.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And otherwise, because our pride and our ego get in the way. And it doesn't. It shows. And and here's the thing. It talked about here in 1 Peter about the hindering of prayers, right? That when it says here, of course, since they are heirs with you, the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So I need to be live with her in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman, okay? And as a result of being like this, okay, and realizing that there is grace that God bestows upon us, okay, that my prayers may not be hindered, because they will be hindered. Our prayers will not be heard if they're done in sin, if they're done with, I believe, with wrong motives
of course.
Me trying to get my own way. And that's why I have to look at myself so clearly. And I'm not pointing at all the guys saying they're all wrong. No, we need, God bestows grace upon us on something we don't deserve, okay?
Amen.
Man, can you believe it? Here we get the music. It's the end of the show. We want to go round 12.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. What about the one where she's a believer and he's not, or vice versa? Yeah, we could be at this for hours.
Yeah, we could keep going and going. Praise and going. God. But you know what? I think the key here is that we try to seek to live in harmony, as you said, with our wives. And the best way of doing that is putting God in the above everything that we do, and right in the middle of everything. If I could see my wife through the eyes of Jesus, it's looking at her that I see Jesus, I'm going to look at her a little bit differently.
So, I agree.
How about praying for our brothers who listen?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the anointing of your word this morning. We just pray, as always, Lord, that what we talked about here in bringing up your word would strike the hearts and minds of those that need to hear it. In your name, amen.